From the Findlay Toyota Studio, it's Cofield and Company.
If McKinnell is going to be taking a shirt off, we're all out.
Non-essential programming. Somebody set up an entire room with an audience of gummy bears listening to an Adele concert. It must have taken hours, and I watched it.
I thought you said they were wonderful and we should all have them. Look at how miserable they're making you now when you're trapped at home.
It's time for Cofield and Company with Steve Cofield on ESPN Las Vegas.
Here we go, 5 o'clock hour. Cofield and Company broadcasting from parts unknown. Ari is in our Findlay Toyota studios. We have bucked with a B, the trend of doing every poll and list that we've seen on social media. We're fine. There's lots of stuff to talk about. Do we need to carve out 10 minutes one day about previous jobs? Because everyone's doing like their five jobs outside of media that they've done. I feel like we've already covered this on the show. Yeah, but do we need to summarize for the new audience members?
We've definitely discussed it before, but I mean, it seems like a fun topic. Everybody's doing it.
Okay, we'll do it Friday. We'll do it Friday. I'm not here, but they'll do it Friday. By the way, you know why I'm taking you off Friday, right?
No.
This G-damn fantasy draft that I have to do.
Oh.
I'm now taking a day off to draft Major League Baseball players who may not play for 10 more weeks. Which, by the way, if you're doing this like I am and you saved Noah Syndergaard, then what? Because we found out today the Mets pitcher, TJ, he's down for a year and a half with Tommy John surgery.
That's fun.
Freaking nightmare. Big Five time.
Battleborne Injury Lawyers presents the Big Five at Five. Number five.
Ari is all over this one. The Kush-Up Challenge. I saw Snoop is in. Who else is in?
I haven't seen anybody do it.
Oh.
Wiz is in?
Wiz Khalifa. Gilly the Kid, if you're familiar. He's the one that started it, apparently.
Gilly the Kid. Okay. Adam?
Okay.
Any clue?
No, I actually don't know Gilly.
Are you a street cred?
He's quite popular.
You're a DJ?
He is quite popular. I'm not a DJ, but yeah.
Okay. You love weed. You've smoked a lot in your life. Wow. That's how you stay so chill and don't freak out behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah.
The Kush-Up Challenge is basically, as you wrote it, you take 10 straight pulls. I don't know what language this is. 10 straight pulls from a blunt or joint without exhaling. Are you in?
I am not in.
Why not?
Any reasonable person that has smoked before would not be. Because two reasons. First off, legitimately, everybody wants to be a tough guy. That's a ton. I've seen a lot of people trying to do it. The other part of this is that when you smoke out of a blunt or a joint, you have to like inhale it. And a lot of people just let the smoke out. So, yeah, you could do that 10 times in a row and inhale on the 10th one and be like, look, I'm not even coughing. I'm so cool. That's the whole problem for me. I think it's just, like, for attention, and I just think it's silly. I don't think smoking weed is silly. I'm not a grandpa, like you said in the rundown. I just think this challenge is kind of silly and a little bit tone deaf.
Okay, boomer.
Yeah, okay, boomer. But that said, if we drug tested you right now, you'd pop hot, right?
For marijuana?
Yeah.
Sure. Takes 90 days to get out of
your
system.
He says sure. Listen, I have nothing against you.
Sure.
If anyone saw what happens behind the scenes with the show, if you're not medicating at home, I don't know how you're alive.
Yeah.
Because we
got to.
I was going
to
say, we drive you nuts. It's me.
I name
And it's like 20 hours a day.
I have strains need, like, named after the show. I'm just kidding. It definitely helps, though.
Back when you needed a prescription to get it, you would just have to go in and be like, I work for Steve Cofield.
Right? Yeah.
That was it?
Just give it to you.
I got a special 10%
off. You did mention
off.
One other thing. You mentioned one other thing aside from the 10% off. You said you hate the commercialization Mary Jane. What's the problem?
It's a lot has changed since it's become legalized. And big picture, that is a much more important thing than my feelings. But, yeah, it's just become, I don't know. Now it's kind of like a glorified, I do this, and things like this, the Kush-Up Challenge. Like, I just think
Ari hates big marijuana.
There you go, yeah. That's right.
Next up, Ari, number four.
Number four.
If you're a celebrity and you have something nice you want to post, here's my advice. Don't do it.
Don't.
It's just going to be greeted with at least 50% hate. You're rich. We're not. We're locked up. We're running out of money. We're running out of food. Go blank yourself. And if you're a member of the Houston Astros, it's 98%. It's going to come back in your face. Shut up. Don't post. Josh Reddick learned his lesson, didn't he?
Well, Josh Reddick wasn't even trying to post something nice, though. Somebody was coming after him, trolling. No. And his response was just to post a close-up picture of his World Series ring.
Oh, you're trying to trash talk?
Yeah. And that was not a good idea because, oh, man, the Photoshops just came flying back at him. They changed the Astros logo on the ring to an asterisk. They changed it just a big L in the middle of it. A lot of people were like, you didn't earn that ring. Take that ring down. You didn't earn it. Like, just it was an avalanche of abuse coming back at him. I would suggest if you're a Houston Astros player from that 2017 team, you don't bring up the championship as a trash talk means. Don't do that. It's way too open for people to just attack you for not earning
it. Yeah, I mean, you're already getting it, and now everyone's on edge. You're just dead meat if you do something like that. Top three stories.
Number three.
Lockdown. Isolation. We're trapped. It's making us crazy. Is this a guy who's crazy? Brady Popinga, who played in the NFL. I don't know that he's entirely objective when it comes to subjects of BYU. Listen to him during this podcast where he talks about Taysom Hill and his potential.
I literally look at Lamar Jackson as he's the poor man's Taysom Hill. It's not the other way around. That's what we got with Taysom. And that's why the Saints are not messing around with the guy.
Yeah. Brady Popinga. Lamar Jackson is the poor man's Taysom Hill.
I mean,
what a setup for Taysom Hill. This will be one that is marked down for a long time.
The only thing I could think of is that he was deadpanning a joke. Like, when I read the comments, I said, no way. And then I listened, and I thought, he sounds serious.
No, he was serious.
And I think he is serious.
Yeah.
That is preposterous. It's so dumb. Taysom Hill is a kick returner. He plays a little quarterback sometimes. This is nonsense.
He's a poor man's Antoine Randall L.
Yes. Yeah.
He's a really poor man's Mohamed Sanu.
Yes.
Okay. Now I'm going overboard the other way. Can he play quarterback? Can he be a franchise quarterback? Should they be counting on him to be the quarterback after Breeze is gone? And we're talking about a guy who's going to throw the ball, you know, whatever, at least 350 times, 400 times a year.
No, he's a weapon. He's not a quarterback. He's a guy that is a good change of pace. You can throw him in a wildcat. You can throw him in red zone. You can throw the defense off. You can line up Drew Brees and make the defense think something crazy is going to go on and then have him run up the middle. Like, there's things you can do with him that he can be utilized as a weapon and a very effective weapon at this level. I think a lot of Taysom Hill, and it's clear why the team does too. But that's just stupid. It's just a stupid comment.
That's just stupid.
It is. It makes no sense. What a Lamar Jackson was the MVP of the league. He was the MVP of the league. This is a backup quarterback that isn't even the backup quarterback. I mean, he is now. He wasn't even the backup quarterback. If he was a poor man's Lamar Jackson, why on earth is Teddy Bridgewater playing last year? That's
a good point.
That is egregious mistake by Sean Payton and the Saints. That's egregious.
Fireable
you
offense.
You have a poor man's Lamar Jackson. Or excuse me. You have a rich man's Lamar Jackson.
Right.
On your bench. And you're like, nah, we'll go with the placeholder, Teddy Bridgewater. Who, I love Teddy Bridgewater. But if this guy is better than Lamar Jackson, why is he not even getting run on his own team when the quarterback's
even
out?
More significant, why is Drew Brees back making $50 million over the next 2 years?
Yeah.
Get rid of him.
Yeah, move on.
You got Lamar Jackson. Play him.
What are you doing?
For nothing. For no money.
This is ideal. In a salary cap world, this is as good as you can get. You have a better player than Lamar Jackson as your third string quarterback.
Top two stories.
Number two.
Cam Newton cut by the Panthers. No trade. Nick Foles went for a fourth round pick. explain why there wasn't a trade and why I'm wrong on this one, that no one wants Cam Newton.
I mean, I don't think we can say that yet. We have to give it a few days of him being a free agent that's just available for anybody. The contract was a little bit restrictive in terms of, you know, he's got still a starting quarterback contract. You don't want to trade for him. You don't want that on your books, especially because most teams have who they consider a starting quarterback already. And everybody knew he was going to be available at some point. So why would you give up something to get that contract when you can just wait for him to be done? And now teams have. And so we'll see what the market is for him, what teams think of him, by how teams react now that he's available to just sign for nothing. And I do expect somebody to take a shot at him, for sure. I think there's several landing spots that are possible. We've mentioned a couple throughout the show. Jacksonville's looking. Pittsburgh is probably looking for another guy. There's spots out there. I do think the Buffalo Bills signing every Carolina Panther that's been available makes some sense to go there as well. Ron Rivera, he got Kyle Allen, so he got the other one.
The Redskins are out on a quarterback.
I don't know if they've got six, but they don't have a starter.
They've got guys that they can start. They drafted Dwayne Haskins 16th. They've still got Al Smith.
Well, they didn't want to, and the coaches knew that he wasn't ready. I don't think they want him, and
right.
I don't think you can count on Alex Smith being the guy. Kyle Allen, you know, comes in now. I don't think anybody's looking at him as the franchise. They can still take Tua at two. There's a lot of possibilities for what the Redskins can do. But, you know, I think Ron Rivera had moved on from Cam Newton anyway. But there's spots out there where they're still looking for a backup slash potential, you know, compete for the starter kind of guy. And I think Cam Newton will land in one of those spots.
All right, let's concentrate on one team, the Jaguars. Maybe Cam Newton could sell some tickets. Does Cam Newton blend with that organization and with your guy, the coach?
Well,
he's not your guy.
He's not my guy, and I can't imagine he's there much longer anyway.
We're talking about Doug?
Moron.
Moron.
Doug Moron. St. Doug, as he refers to himself.
St. Doug.
Yeah.
Does that guy mesh with Cam Newton?
Not to me.
No.
No. But again, how long will he be there? And if I'm also interested if this offseason drags on, if the season doesn't start when they think, if we push it back, do teams start saying, like, you know what, maybe we should have made a coaching change? Do the Jaguars say, why is he still here?
Wow. Wouldn't that be amazing?
If you have more time for the offseason, you can start thinking about these things and really analyzing where your franchise is.
They're also in a weird position. Is Doug Marrone going to follow them to London? Is he the guy you want to be the voice of an NFL franchise as you're trying to intro it a couple of years from now in London?
I don't. Maybe Cam Newton is the guy that you want as your franchise quarterback. Although
possibly.
I think Jameis makes a lot of sense in Jacksonville.
Number one story.
Number one.
I can't believe this is where John Watson tweet has taken us today, but guess what? Sports is shut down. And I say it every day. We're going to always have something to talk about because athletes and social media, they get a little wacky. They get a little emotional, and people love to react to it. Yesterday, Deshaun Watson, Drake lyrics. I don't know how I'm make it out of here clean. Yeah. Can't even keep track of who plays for the other team. Iconic duos rip and split at the seams. We thought that was up yours, Bill O'Brien. Can't believe you traded DeAndre Hopkins. I don't think I'm happy here. I might want to move.
And are the Texans tanking? Is that their plan? Well, you already got rid of DeAndre Hopkins for nothing. Is that the plan? If it is, and again, Deshaun Watson, I mentioned earlier, would be a free agent next summer. The contract says he's a free agent in 2 years, but there's nothing listed for next year. I think there's an option for either him or the club, and he's got a very, very club-friendly contract right now. I wouldn't be completely shocked if he's moved.
Headline. Deshaun Watson's recent social media activity sparking Patriots trade rumors. I'm done with the NFL.
If he
this
goes
happens,
there?
Stop. Don't even, let's not talk about stuff like this.
So
Stiddy's the guy, everybody. Jared Stidham.
Would anybody argue that that's not an upgrade at quarterback? Anybody? That is a massive, from Brady to Watson is a massive upgrade.
Of course it is.
And I don't think anybody would even try to argue that.
It would be the most miraculous thing that's ever happened to Patriots fans. And they got Tom Brady for 20 years. That they would have someone in top 5 or 7 quarterback in their 20s.
They're immediately the division favorites again. They're one of the Super Bowl favorites again if they were able to make this happen. And does Belichick call O'Brien and be like, I made your career. Give me your quarterback.
You owe me.
Yeah, you owe me. Send him here.
This one hit on social media based on what's going on with Deshaun Watson. A photo of Belichick holding up a phone, and the quote says, I'm just saying you could do better. Tell me, have you heard that lately?
That's more Drake lyrics.
That's a beautiful relaying of Drake lyrics. Can we really hear the Drake lyrics? Our vast sound crew, please.
I'm just saying.
Oh, what a bummer.
Tell me, have you heard that lately? I'm just saying you could do better.
I could see Belichick singing it like that too.
Think so?
Why not?
He'd be way off rhythm, just like his no days off. He'd be like, I'm just saying you could do better. Like, wait, what?
Marvin's what song, Room, what is it?
Marvin's Room.
I don't know. The Vast Sound Crew grabs this stuff. I don't know where they get it from.
Classic.
Okay. Did you laugh at the Belichick meme?
Of course. It's hilarious. Deshaun Watson throwing out Drake lyrics, so Belichick comes right back at him.
I'm out. I'm done. I can't do this.
You don't? You're out?
I can't do Deshaun Watson of the Patriots. My head's going to explode. I am going to pull out of the beer fridge behind me and start drinking heavily.
I mean, on a serious note, for me, I'd be very conflicted.
You know what? Hold on to that. On the way back, we'll find out what the issue is, why Adam is conflicted. And first words from Tom Brady on his move to Tampa Bay as he had a teleconference with the media.
It's the Big 5 at 5, brought to you by Battle Born Injury Lawyers. If you've been injured, call Justin Watkins at Battle Born Injury Lawyers, 570-9000. Now, back to Cofield and Company.
I'm pumping iron and I'm looking nice. Got a tattoo on my shoulder and I'm melting ice. Women want to love me and they call out my name. No candle, I'm a red hot flame. I'm a pretty woman lover. I'm an ugly woman's dream. Baby, you're lucky have a man like me. I'm a pretty woman lover. I'm an ugly woman's dream.
Nothing like some
baby, you're lucky have a man like
hit country music in the 5 o'clock hour. I'm a pretty woman lover.
How ironic.
I'm an ugly woman's dream. That is Joe Exotic, and that's all Adam will say. He will not ruin why that song is really funny, but this man is...
I ain't no candle, I'm a red hot flame.
He's a man of many talents. He's the star of, or is he, of Tiger King. Watch it, because we are doing a full breakdown on Thursday's Cofield & Company. If you don't watch it by then, I'm sorry, we're leaving you in the dust.
No way that's him singing, right?
It doesn't appear to be him singing.
No chance.
The videos are glorious.
Oh, amazing. Amazing videos.
He's got a great, great voice, though. If that's his voice.
But don't go watch the videos without watching the documentary. Because
they're perfectly placed in the documentary.
Yeah, you need the cut. Well, I've watched all of them in full, not just the cuts from the documentary. I'm obsessed. Dog's not happy with that.
Now we got dueling dogs.
But I will say the videos are so much funnier. They're so much better in context after you watch the documentary.
Steve, Adam, Ari, Cofield & Company from Parts Unknown. Ari is in our Findlay Toyota studios. I want you to hear Tom Brady here in a second and a couple of the clips in talking to the Buccaneers media who, rightly so, were also asking about the Patriots. But Adam, first, Steve Sisolak, our governor, speaking at a press conference, started about 10 minutes ago. Anything significant so far?
So right at the beginning of his speech, he announced a new emergency declaration. We know that you're not supposed to gather in groups of 10 or more.
Oh, no.
But he is making this official now.
No more radio shows?
So... No, executive directive bars people from gathering in groups of 10 or more in indoor or outdoor spaces. He said, quote, there are still some people who don't understand the severity of the issue that we're facing. So he has signed that order. He said the order applies to playgrounds, basketball courts, baseball fields. He encourages people to enjoy a daily walk in the park with their household but maintain a safe distance from others. The directive does come with consequences for those who fail to comply. Law enforcement has to first give warnings, but then can move to civil or criminal penalties. for gathering in groups of 10 or more. He says Nevada has received zero shipments for testing equipment. Says we are in desperate need of testing.
Have we been nice? Wasn't that the edict handed down? If you're nice, you may get some help.
Yeah, that's the rule. Nevada has placed two large orders for PPE, that's personal protective equipment. 25% of the first order has arrived, expecting to get 25% more very soon. And he encourages anyone with masks to call his office. Quote, it's incumbent upon us to provide healthcare providers the tools necessary.
Less important things to discuss, but Tom Brady got to speak to some of the Buccaneer media. Here's a couple of samples of what he talked about. A lot of it was about the Patriots.
Yeah, it's a good division with good quarterbacks, very good offenses, but, you know, very athletic defenses too. You know, winning the division is always a hard thing to do. These teams know each other so well. You know, I didn't play this division once but every 4 years. There's a lot of things that I've got to learn and get up to speed on. That's where a lot of my time and energy, it's where all my time and energy is going to be focused on.
Good division or not a good division?
NFC South? Yeah. Or the AFC East that he was talking about? NFC South.
Pats is coming up.
Yeah, NFC South is it's a good division. It's not, you know, daunting necessarily. You've got some good teams. They're
Saints
the Saints.
Saints are really good.
And but Drew Brees is the window's closing, same as with Tampa now with Brady.
Carolina is in
tanking.
Rebuild.
They're tanking.
Rebuild. So they're 6-7 wins max.
Yeah.
And Atlanta, I don't know what Atlanta is.
I think they take a step up.
Okay.
But I don't know. You know, again, it's not a team that's. It's not like the AFC West. We were like, man, we got to get over the hump with Kansas City. This is going to be brutal.
More Tom Brady on this teleconference.
What would it have taken for you to stay in New England?
Well, you know, again, I'm not. I don't want to talk about the past because that's not relevant to what, you know, important in my future and what's going on this offseason for me. And like I said, I had nothing but two decades of an incredible experience.
He was very gracious.
Sure.
Was not about to go and smash Kraft or Belichick. He actually, the clips that I heard, and this was just a little bit clipped on TMZ, he did mention Kraft. I didn't hear him mention Belichick, but he may have mentioned Belichick in a different part of the teleconference. It's Adam and Steve. 5 o'clock hour continues. We're going to try to hunt down former NFL tight end Anthony Beck to get some information. He's a guy who lives in the Tampa area. Find out what Tampa's feeling right now about Tom Brady, some of these quarterback rumors, and also where Jameis Winston is going to land. Is he going to get a deal? Is he a freaking backup now?
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews.
If Bill Belichick had gotten on the phone with Tom Brady a year ago, we love you, we never want to lose you, we don't give a damn what it takes, Tom Brady would still be a New England Patriot. Bill Belichick was not willing to do that, and that is why Tom Brady not only is gone, but he's been gone since last year.
Now, back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
We love Stephen A. on the show, but yeah, Belichick wanted him gone a couple of years ago, so why would he get on the phone and show him love? He wanted to move on a while back. That's the Belichick way. Steve, Adam here in Vegas. Let's talk about all these quarterback stories and also Brady's new landing spot in Tampa. He's a resident of Tampa, played for the Jets, played all around the NFL, former tight end in the National Football League, and Anthony Beck is nice enough to give us a couple minutes. How are you?
What's up, guys? How we doing? Just hunkering down here in Florida, man, trying to stay safe and out of trouble.
What's it like trying to stay safe in Florida?
I don't know. I live in a gated community, so it's, yeah. You know, there's about 40 houses, and there's probably 25 kids under the age of 10, which makes me feel good because from what I'm hearing, they're the least most affected group. So I feel safe in the confines of my yard here, shooting hoops with my kid every day and playing horse and anything else we can think of, staying at the house.
Not to be a bummer, but you're very lucky because believe it or not, we've got this lockdown going on in Nevada, and our governor is super intense. He saw people playing at the parks, playing pickup basketball. They're now taking all the freaking hoops down at all the parks here.
No doubt. Wow, that's crazy. I mean, yeah, you know, that doesn't really you know, it probably doesn't make sense to play, you know, 5-on-5 or whatever it is. But,
right.
Yeah, I mean, look, they don't want people out and about. But, yeah, that's definitely setting the point there for sure, taking the rims down.
Yep, I was going to walk over to the park and shoot hoops, my fat ass, and now I can't even do that. So I guess maybe eat less. Maybe eat less while I'm locked down here. So let's talk about...
I definitely have some stock shelves, I'm trying to just – I feel bad if I don't eat it. So I have to eat everything that I have here while I'm stocked up.
This is a former high-level athlete who can't control himself, so I don't feel that bad. All right, so let's talk about what's the vibe been around Tampa. Obviously, it's a little more muted than normal because of the coronavirus, but Tom Brady is now a Buccaneer. What's it like?
Yeah, you know, I think for the fan base, I think it's still a little bit surreal. I mean, you know, this is an organization that, quite frankly, has gotten stiff-armed by a lot of high-priced, high-priority coaches and players in the past. Shells was supposed to be here. That was a done deal. Didn't happen. Chip Kelly at his prime when everybody wanted him. He stiff-armed them. Brett Favre was even supposed to come here prior to his little comeback, and that didn't make it happen. So, you know, the fact that they actually felt like this was a real possibility, even then, fans didn't believe it. And, you know, when Tom signed on the dotted line, it was exciting. Now, you know, I was at the Combine back at the end of February talking to some folks, and, you know, the things started ramping up there. I mean, Tom doing his homework, reaching out to guys, obviously, that have played under Bruce Arians, doing his homework. You know, Peyton Manning, I'm sure, was a big conversation piece in that, being under Bruce Arians. And, you know, Bruce has coached some pretty prominent quarterbacks as well outside of Peyton, as Ben Roethlisberger, Carson Palmer. So, you know, I think when you look at everything that's surrounding it and this move, it makes a lot of sense. It's pretty exciting. But maybe I'm just saying, Tom, you know, just dubbed into the uniform online or on Twitter or wherever he's kind of pegged in with those new colors. Doesn't really comprehend. You know, until you finally see him out there, it's definitely going to be interesting and going to set the expectations pretty high for the Bucs.
All right, so what do you think of this take? And I'll admit it's mine. This is a big splashy signing. It's great for enthusiasm. It's great for excitement. It'll sell tickets. It doesn't necessarily make him that much better.
That's false. Yeah, listen, if he was here last year, they would have made the playoffs. You know, a lot of quarterbacks, if they were here and just did their job, this team would have been in the playoffs. You're talking about a team that finished up one of the best defenses in the NFL the last half of the season. Todd Bowles, to me, is probably one of the best coordinators in the NFL, and he did a great job with a young secondary that, you know, was deep with youth but got a lot of reps, played well, and got better every week. They signed two premier defensive end pass rushers that are both back, coming off 30 sacks. JPP only played half the season and had himself 9 sacks on the year. Viavea, you know, should have been in the Pro Bowl, was a Pro Bowl defensive tackle, their former first-round pick that was injured most of the year last season. So, you know, a lot of things going their way. And then you look at their offense, I mean, overall, when you're talking about what Tom Brady has had to work with offensively over his years with the Patriots, he's had some really good players, good tight ends, but from top to bottom, receivers, tight ends, and then whatever they add in the backfield, whether it's draft or free agency, I mean, this is a loaded team for him to step in. So, you know, to say, yeah, he's old, you know, this and that, let's be honest, guys. The Super Bowl 2 years ago, last year had no weapons around him, still able to get the team where they, you know, into the postseason. So, again, it's to me, you put some people around this guy, you know, he still can get it done. He's not the same guy he was, you know, 10, 12 years ago. But let's be honest. I mean, he knows how to get it done, and he'll raise the level of the bar for a lot of these players down here that, you know, haven't been around this type of teammate leader in this locker room.
It's former NFL tight end Anthony Beck on the horn with us. You have to understand, by the way, very polite when you were like, that's false. I do a show with multiple dudes. Adam Hill is here today. Another guy, John Von Tobel. These guys are the biggest Jameis Winston fans outside of Tampa. They love this man, and their vision is clouded. I think the NFL is telling you what the deal is with Jameis Winston. Am I reading too much into this, that he doesn't have a job yet? He didn't get a long-term contract yet?
Yeah, you know, I think it just it's kind of where I thought it'd be. I thought there'd be obviously some play. There will be some play for him, obviously, as a backup or a guy that can come in and do that. But I don't know if he's going to get a chance to go somewhere and be a disruptor as a backup.
And that's kind of the key of the situation. I've been a big supporter of Jameis as well. I mean, this is a guy that came in with some turmoil off the field, corrected himself, got himself better. Obviously, there were some things that came out later in his 5 years here, but happened earlier in his career and really made a difference in the community and did some really positive things. First guy in the building, last guy to leave. The work was franchise name. Some of the things that he did on the field was elite. A lot of things that he did were not on average, though. They were below average. And those mistakes, those critical mistakes, you know, I know he was really leaning on the yards and the touchdowns last year as his presenting or his resume. But the interceptions, the turnovers over time, and I know we've kind of tied in Peyton Manning's turnovers and all these guys that have, you know, elite careers, you know, after their first 5 years. But it's a different time. It's a passing league. And the mistakes were too critical. And I think it's just year to year, even though this was a new system for him, and then people said he needed another year to try it, I just think the information was there, was set on the plate. And I think, yeah, it is a reflection of right now what the league sees. It's hard to fix that. And sometimes that's just in between the ears. You know, it doesn't really translate all the work and the preparation and the intellect that he has. When he gets to the field, there's something going on. It's just not quite there. And to be frank, he had 33 interceptions, guys. There were probably about 10 to 15 drops, interceptions. Now, we don't count those. We can do that for a lot of quarterbacks. I saw somebody did it for Jared Goff. They said he had 20 dropped interceptions this year. But it's, the reality is, you know, those are all poor decisions, and, you know, those are crucial. And, you know, playing behind the eight ball, being down 7-0 to start the game on the first series with a young team, a young secondary trying to learn their way, just isn't the answer. And right now I think the team is in the headed in direction that needs to be. And for Jameis, I think he's going to have to wait it out a little bit and see how things fall.
Are we discounting fun? He's the most fun player to watch in the league.
Yeah, he eats W's. You know, you got to like that. That's always good video there. But, you know, look, I think that, you know, he had a great opportunity last year. This is a playoff caliber roster last season. And, you know, listen, they played a lot of close games, and they lost a lot of close games. You know, a couple things that he doesn't do, a few mistakes he doesn't make, and things change. So, you know, do you blame it all on Jameis? No, but let's be honest, guys, quarterback position is so crucial. There was a lot of opportunities that were left out there that, you know, should have been taken advantage of outside of the norm of what a quarterback could have done, or at least an average quarterback could have done around a good team. So he had weapons, he had players, and it just didn't work out. And I, you know, do I feel bad for him? No, it's the nature of the beast. It's the business. He got his chance, but he wasn't able to capitalize on it, and it cost the team this year, and they don't want to make that same mistake because the windows are so tight with some of these players that they have on their team currently.
It is a tight window, and you mentioned expectations. Are they setting themselves up if this doesn't work, if this is not a division champion, you know, contending for a conference title, is this a failed experiment?
It is. To me, I have him in the playoffs. You know, that's how firm and strong I believe. You know, now that's bearing injuries and stuff like that. I mean, look, Father Time obviously is not on Brady's side. You know, I always said the last couple of years that Brady will end up not playing anymore because of injury. I hope that's not the case, but I just, you know, things just pop up, guys. I mean, Achilles don't get younger, knees don't get younger, your hips don't get younger, and, you know, even though he's in great shape and he feels good, and the technology and the things and meds and the way you train, all that stuff's different, it still does catch up to you. So hopefully he can make it through at least these two seasons and give it his best. But, you know, barring any other injury or catastrophic changes for this football team and what they're going to add in the draft, they'll be in the playoffs this year. So that's not kind of the part that I'm, you know, like, okay, that's like the do or die. The do or die is getting deeper and getting deep. I would say deeper because they haven't been there in over a decade. So it's, you know, that it's about, you know, fulfilling that expectation of, okay, these are the players. We got a tremendous amount of young talent on this team that's seasoned, ready to go, big playmakers. This is the push. And, I, you know, this is kind of the BA's kind of calling card right here, because it's kind of the end of the line for him as far as coaching. He was out. He came back. He kind of was semi-retired. You know, when you watch him last year, letting, you know, Leftwich kind of run the offense and Todd Bowles run the defense. So, you know, for him, he'll be a little more hands-on, I think. And, you know, this is his chance to maybe set that resume a little higher than he wants to as a head coach. And I think it's going to be fun to watch. And I hope everything stays intact, they stay healthy, because I do want to see what this team's capable of doing, and can they disrupt things? And really, can Tom Brady do it without Belichick and the way it's been going for the last 20 years of his career? I've been waiting for that. I kind of do the same thing when I think about a guy like Nick Saban. Like, can he go do it somewhere else? So that those are the things that I think are built national stories that are going to be interesting to watch, because this team, you know, I think one Monday night game last year or one night game, they're going to have five or six primetime games. I mean, this is going to be a real deal. The ticket sales are up, a lot of buzz, and you know, this will bring a lot of juice to the Tampa Bay economy, because you know, obviously in where we are currently, you know, doesn't help anybody's economy, but you know, things like this can really help out and get the karma going for the entire city.
Is Jarrett Stidham going to be the guy in New England?
You know, it's funny. A quarterback competition with Stidham and Hoyer doesn't really excite me. That doesn't get me really fired up as a coach. I don't know how you write stories and say, you know, I read stuff on Twitter, oh, there's going to be a competition this year. Like, I don't know. I mean, like, the best thing for Stidham is you've been able to sit back and watch. I think that's crucial. You know, I've been through that with Chad Pennington, you know, watching Vinny Testaverde coming in with a lot of success early. We saw that with Aaron Rodgers, Pat Mahomes under Alex Smith. You get to learn things without the play and try to build your kind of quarterback resume until you actually hit the field, and will it click and translate, and do you have the it factor? We won't know that till, you know, really week one, or, you know, if he's the guy. I would anticipate another quarterback coming in at some point, maybe later on, or, you know, within the next couple weeks, or into training camp, depending on how things shake out. Just because, you know, look, I just don't see Bill Belichick throwing out those kind of caliber quarterbacks and expecting to be an elite-level team. The one thing I thought was interesting, being out in your world, is that with Brady signing with the Bucs, the Patriots are still a favorite to win the division. So, you know, we'll see. You know, I cover the Jets. So I cover the Jets. I live in Tampa. I cover the Bucs on WDAE during the week for segments. But I carry and cover the Jets. I mean, I've never been more happier in my life. And I've never had to embrace Tom Brady before, because he's been the most hated person, you know, since we both came out in the 2000 draft. So, For Jets fans, this is a great, unique opportunity, and for Tampa, it's exciting times as well.
Anthony, I'm a longtime Jets fan. I had to admit last week when Brady made it official he wasn't coming back to the Patriots, in the middle of the afternoon it finally hit me, and I started crying. I'm an idiot.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's going to be a different deal. And I'll tell you, the division is not sleeping on making moves. You know, the Bills obviously coming off a good year, pretty active free agency. The Dolphins obviously have to spend a tremendous amount of money. They're bringing some big name guys, and they'll go get quarterback wherever they'll draft early. And you know, Robbie Anderson obviously with today not getting signed back, you know, even though they wanted him back. But Breshad Perryman gets signed a couple hours later, who I actually like, who was down here in Tampa, who I think, you know, he played like a WR1, a receiver one, while Mike Evans was down. His numbers were tremendous, and you know, if he's back to that form again, he can be. You know, he's a former first round pick, still young. Got a lot of legs left, had some early injuries, got nicked up, played a little chip on his shoulder with a one-year deal. Could be an interesting player for the Jets signing there. So a lot of changes throughout. I think it's good for the game, fan bases, and it should be interesting, you know, from top to bottom throughout the league.
That was awesome, Anthony. Thank you so much. Thanks for carving out some time a little later in the evening in Florida. Thank you.
Hey, you know what? Milk crates now. Empty milk crates. You can put those on the backboards and go old school. If you have to go play ball.
I have to. I'm very athletic. I'm very athletic. I really need to play.
That's
see
what
Anthony.
That's
see you, buddy. There you go. Yeah. Anthony back. We got a quick timeout here. We'll get you the quote of the day. And actually, from that source, we'll have to tie in. There are betting odds on where UFC is going to hold this UFC 249. You can actually bet on the location.
Hit up Cofield and Company on Facebook, like ESPN Las Vegas.
Cofield and Company presents...
Hey, hold on. Bagel.
Grab bag.
Don't touch it. Don't even look at it.
Only on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Closing it out in the grab bag. Adam, did your jaw hurt after taking that right cross from Anthony Beck? Just shutting you down on both Brady and Jameis Winston?
He's wrong.
Why didn't you say it during the interview?
I just let it's his time to shine. I've talked about it enough.
You have?
Yeah.
you have. Back of the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
You have a buddy who lives in Austria.
I do.
What are some of the social distancing rules they have there? Are they taking down basketball hoops so people don't play basketball in the parks like we are?
I don't know that they have basketball hoops. I know he lives in like the middle of downtown. His apartment building was built in like 1507. So I don't know there's a whole lot of park space necessarily. He told me he's allowed to go for a walk a day. Only one.
How do they police that?
I don't know. I feel like if the same policeman sees you twice, then you're in trouble. I don't think they can police it that stringently. But that's what he said. One walk a day, and you can still go to the grocery store. But other than that, total lockdown.
Back in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
We talked about this one at 3:15. We'll bring it back. UFC, Dana White says, 99.9% chance that UFC 249, April 18th, is going to happen. The location is unknown. Before we get into the possible locations of UFC 249, Tony Ferguson against Khabib, Dana White had the quote of the day, at least in the sports world. What did he say about the coronavirus?
He said, whether you're a coronavirus expert or not, it's like hiding from cancer. You can't hide from this thing. If you're a high-risk person, this thing's going to get you.
You actually can hide from coronavirus.
The exact opposite.
That's what the quarantine is for. It's not cancer.
Right. You literally can hide from it.
Read it again. Did I misunderstand it?
Whether you're a coronavirus expert or not, it's like hiding from cancer. You can't hide from this thing. If you're a high-risk person, it's going to get you.
Okay.
But you can hide from it. That's why you quarantine.
So when our parents die, do we just go with the, oh, well, what can you do?
It's going to happen anyway. Well, you can be like the guy yesterday.
Dan Patrick, the radio host?
Lieutenant Governor of Texas. Yeah. Who said, I think most grandparents are willing to trade their life for their kids to have economic activity.
Global odds. I want to bet on where UFC 249 goes down. I want to bet Dubai.
Dubai would be in the UAE. That's plus 350.
It's the favorite.
Nope. Second favorite.
Really?
Florida plus $2. Florida's the favorite. Russia plus $4. Mexico plus $5. Saudi Arabia $9. South Africa 10. Nevada 14-1. International waters 25-1. I like that.
I love that one.
And how about North Korea 100-1?
Seems like it should be more than 100-1.
What if KJ was like, all right, let's go. He's friends with Trump. Trump's friends with Dana.
Great job, Ari, with the guest booking. We talked to Dan Duva, VGK voice, earlier in the show. PJ Carlissimo and Anthony Becht. Check out LVSportsNetwork.com for great video content every day. Our archives and, of course, Twitter at ESPN Las Vegas for highlights of all these interviews.